Hi, this is Mrs. English. Thank you for joining me again. We are still reading Milton's Paradise Lost, John Milton, Paradise Lost, and I'm just about to begin Book 7. Before I begin Book 7, I would like to give you a little bit of a discourse on what happens to an epic in the middle. This book has 12 books. This story has 12 books. Therefore, when we begin Book 7, we begin the second half. Very traditional to epic literature is to have a split in the middle. Everything will change in the middle. And Milton also does this. He has the split in the middle. Beginning with Book 7, he now confines all of the action to Earth. I'm going to read you a little bit from one of the notes in the back of our Norton Critical edition, and this is written by Northrop Frye. Our page numbers are different, so you'll have to look up this essay and see if you have it. The author is Northrop Frye. He's a famous literary critic, a famous Christian literary critic. When I see Northrop Frye, when I see his name on a book or on an essay, I know that I will trust it. And he wrote an essay called The Story of All Things, and it may be in your edition still. Now, major poets, Frye tells us, that always wrote in major genres. They didn't write tiny little piddly things. A major poet, if you want to become famous and have people reading your work, you need to write something big. And the major genres at Milton's time were still epic and tragedy. And that's why Milton chose Paradise Lost for his epic and Samson Agonistes as his tragedy, the story of Samson and his wrong choices. Paradise Lost is probably presented, Frye says, as a sacrificial offering to God, which if it's accepted, will derive its merit from that acceptance. And so if God accepts this and it glorifies God, then Milton got out of this what he wanted. Also, Frye mentions that Milton's blindness is what eventually gave him this almost preternatural concentration. Just like being deaf gave Beethoven a concentration on his music, that's the effect that the blindness had on Milton's writing. It gave him this incredible ability to concentrate on his writing. Also, one thing Northrop Frye brings out is that Milton does follow these epic conventions. When he originally published this book, it came out, this story had 10 books, not 12, and then he changed that to follow epic conventions. He also preserves the traditional feature of a split in the middle of the action, when at the beginning of Book 7 he says that the action for the second half of the poem will be confined to Earth. That's from Northrop Frye. Very interesting. Let's go ahead and get started with Book 7. This has a short argument. Raphael, at the request of Adam, relates how and wherefore this world was first created, that God, after the expelling of Satan and his angels out of heaven, declared his pleasure to create another world and other creatures to dwell therein, sends his Son with glory and attendance of angels to perform the work of creation in 6 days. The angels celebrate with hymns the performance thereof and his reascension into heaven. Line 1. Descend from heaven, Urania, by that name, if rightly thou art called. And this is probably, Uranos is heaven in the Greek, and Urania is the muse, there were 9 muses, was the muse of astronomy. So it probably, this is his allusion to the Holy Spirit. Descend from heaven, Urania, by that name, if rightly thou art called, whose voice divine following, above the Olympian hill I soar, above the flight of Pegasian wing, the meaning, not the name I call. For thou, nor of the Muses 9, nor on the top of old Olympus dwellest, but heavenly born, before the hills appeared, or fountain flowed. This is a reference to Proverbs 8:22-30. Thou with eternal wisdom didst converse, wisdom thy sister, and with her didst play in presence of the Almighty Father, pleased with thy celestial song. Upled by thee into the heaven of heavens, I have presumed an earthly guest, and drawn empyreal air, thy tempering with like safety guided down, line 15, return me to my native element, earth, lest from this flying steed unreined, as one Bellerophon, though from a lower clime, dismounted on the alien field, I fall erroneous there to wander and forlorn. Bellerophon's The Winged Horse. Half yet remains unsung, half of Milton's story remains, but narrower bound within the visible diurnal sphere. But he's binding himself. He's not going to go up to heaven or down to hell and then back to earth. This is narrower bound within the visible diurnal sphere. Standing on earth, not wrapped above the pole, more safe I sing with mortal voice, unchanged to hoarse or mute, though fallen on evil days. On evil days, though fallen, and evil tongues in darkness, and with dangers compassed round, and solitude, yet not alone. While thou visitest my slumbers nightly, or when morn purples the east, still govern thou my song. Urania and fit audience find, though few, but drive far off the barbarous dissonance, something that's discordant, not sounding nice, the dissonance of Bacchus and his revelers. Bacchus was the Greek god of, Bacchus was the Roman version of the Greek Dionysius, and he was a god of wine and disorder. Of Bacchus and his revelers, the race of that wild rout that tore the Thracian bard in Rhodope. And of course, he's talking of the Thracian bard was Orpheus. He was also a poet, and he sang. He was the son of Calliope, one of the muses, torn to pieces. Where woods and rocks had ears to glorify the Maker, and infer thee also happier, shall not be withheld thy hearing. Such commission from above I have received, to answer thy desire of knowledge within bounds, beyond abstain to ask. So Raphael is telling Adam, God will let me tell you the story within limits. Don't ask for more. Nor let thine own inventions hope things not revealed, which the invisible king, only omniscient, hath suppressed in night, to none communicate in earth or heaven. Enough is left besides to search and know, line 125. But knowledge is as food, and needs no less her temperance over appetite, to know in measure what the mind may well contain. Oppresses else with surfeit, and soon turns wisdom to folly, as nourishment to wind. Know then, okay, so this is what happened, Adam. Know then, that after Lucifer from heaven, so call him, brighter once amidst the host of angels than that star, the stars among, he used to be really bright, fell with his flaming legions through the deep into his place, and the great sun, line 135, returned victorious with his saints. The omnipotent eternal father from his throne beheld their multitude, and to his son thus spake. This is God speaking to Jesus. At least our envious foe hath failed, who thought all like himself rebellious, by whose aid this inaccessible high strength, the seat of deity supreme, us dispossessed, he trusted to have seized, and into fraud drew many, whom their place knows here no more. Isn't it too bad that he deceived so many they thought they could come and conquer me? Yet far the greater part have kept, I see, line 145, have kept, I see, their station. Heaven yet, populous, retains number sufficient to possess her realms, though wide, and this high temple to frequent with ministries due and solemn rites. But lest his heart exalt him in the harm already done to have dispeopled heaven, my damage fondly deemed, I can repair that detriment, if such it be, to lose self-loss, and in a moment will create another world. Out of one man a race of men innumerable, there to dwell, not here, till by degrees of merit raised they open to themselves at length the way up hither, under long obedience tried. So God says, we are kind of dispeopled here, we don't have as many as we used to. I know, I'll create another world and another race. And after they have practiced long obedience, and earth be changed to heaven, and heaven to earth, so the end times, line 160. One kingdom, joy, and union without end. Meanwhile, inhabit lax, which means take it easier, dwell loose, ye powers of heaven, and thou my word, begotten son, by thee this I perform. Speak thou, and be it done, my overshadowing spirit and might with thee. I send along, ride forth, and bid the deep within appointed bounds be heaven and earth, boundless the deep, because I am who fill infinitude, nor vacuous the space. Though I uncircumscribed myself retire, line 170, and put not forth my goodness, which is free to act or not, necessity and chance approach me not, and what I will is fate. So spake the Almighty, and to what he spake, his word, the filial Godhead, gave effect. Immediate are the acts of God, more swift than time or motion, but to human ears cannot without process of speech be told, so told as earthly notion can receive. A great triumph and rejoicing was in heaven when such was heard, declared the Almighty's will. Glory they sung to the Most High and goodwill, very reminiscent of Luke 2:13-14. Goodwill to future men, and in their dwellings peace. Glory to him whose just avenging ire had driven out the ungodly from his sight. Line 185. And the inhabitants of the just, to him glory and praise, whose wisdom had ordained good out of evil to create, instead of spirits malign a better race to bring in their vacant room. Line 190. And thus diffuse his good to worlds and ages infinite. So sang the hierarchies. Meanwhile the sun on his great expedition now appeared, girt with omnipotence, with radiance crowned of majesty divine. Sapience and love immense, and all his father in him shone. About his chariot, so the sun is mounted in a chariot, numberless were poured cherub and seraph, potentates and thrones and virtues, winged spirits and chariots winged, from the armory of God, where stand of old myriads between two brazen mountains lodged against a solemn day, harnessed at hand celestial equipage, heavenly horses, and now came forth spontaneous, for within them spirit lived, attendant on their Lord. Line 205. Heaven opened wide her ever-during gates, harmonious sound on golden hinges moving, to let forth the King of Glory in his powerful word, and Spirit coming to create new worlds. This is what Jesus is on a mission to do. Line 210. On heavenly ground they stood, and from the shore they viewed the vast immeasurable abyss, outrageous as a sea, dark, wasteful, wild, up from the bottom turned by furious winds and surging waves, as mountains to assault heaven's height, and with the center mix the pole. Line 215. Silence, ye troubled waves, and thou deep peace, said then the omnific word, your discord end. So the omnific word, which of course from John 1:1 is the sun, tells the seas to, the waves to silence. Just, that's right out of Mark 4:39. Nor stayed, but on the wings of cherubim uplifted in paternal glory, paternal has to do with your father, rode far into chaos and the world unborn. Line 220. For chaos heard his voice, him all his train followed in bright procession, to behold creation and the wonders of his might. Then stayed the fervid wheels, the burning wheels, and in his hand he took the golden compasses, prepared in God's eternal store to circumscribe this universe and all created things. One foot he centered, and the other turned round through the vast profundity obscure, and said, thus far extend, thus far thy bounds, lines 230. This be thy just circumference. So he is speaking and it's happening. Your bounds will go this far. Your circumference will be this big. You'll extend this far. O world, thus God the heaven created, thus the earth. Matter unformed and void, darkness profound covered the abyss. But on the watery calm, his brooding wings, the spirit of God outspread, and vital virtue infused, and vital warmth throughout the fluid mass, but downward purged the black, tartarous, cold, infernal dregs, adverse to life. Then founded, then conglobed, like things to like, the rest to several place disparted, and between spun out the air, and earth self-balanced on her center hung. Take a look at Job 26:7. This is good. I hope you have all of these biblical references in your Norton edition. And then God speaks. Let there be light, said God, and forthwith light ethereal, first of things, quintessence pure, sprung from the deep. Light is the fifth element. There are four elements. Light is the fifth. Sprung from the deep, and from her native east, line 245, to journey through the airy gloom began, sphered in a radiant cloud, for yet the sun was not. She in a cloudy tabernacle sojourned the while. God saw the light was good, and light from darkness by the hemisphere divided. Light the day and darkness night he named. This was the first day, even and morn, nor passed uncelebrated, nor unsung by the celestial choirs, when orient light, exhaling first from darkness they beheld. This is a litote. It ends in line 255. Nor unsung, nor did they not sing. And so, of course, they're singing and praising God for this incredible thing they're seeing. birthday of heaven and earth, with joy and shout the hollow universal orb they filled, and touched their golden harps, and hymning, praised God and his works. Creator hymn they sung, both when first evening was, and when first morn, line 260. Again God said, let there be firmament amid the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, an expanse of liquid pure, transparent, elemental air diffused, line 265, in circuit to the uttermost convex of this great round, partition firm and sure, the waters underneath from those above dividing. For as earth, so he the world, built on circumfluous waters calm, in wide crystalline ocean, and the loud misrule of chaos far removed, lest fierce extremes, contiguous, might distemper the whole frame. And heaven he named the firmament, so even, and morning chorus sung the second day. All right, so he's not going to let fierce extremes, contiguous, distemper the whole frame, which means disturb the order in the mixture of these elements. Line 276, so we have ended the second day. The earth was formed, but in the womb as yet of waters, embryon immature involved, appeared not. Over all the face of earth, main ocean flowed, not idle, but with warm, prolific humor, softening all her globe. Fermented the great mother to conceive, satiate with genial moisture. All right, soaked with friendly moisture. When God said, be gathered now, ye waters, under heaven into one place, and let dry land appear. Immediately the mountains huge appear, line 285, emergent, and their broad bare backs upheave into the clouds. Their tops ascend the sky, so high as heaved the tumid hills, so low down sunk a hollow bottom broad and deep. Capacious bed of waters, hither they hasted with glad precipitance, uprolled as drops on dust conglobing from the dry, part rise in crystal wall or ridge direct, for haste such flight, the great command impressed on the swift floods. As armies at the call, line 295, here we have another simile, how fast did walls shear up and mountains rise and beds of water form, how fast? Line 295, as armies at the call of trumpet, for of armies thou hast heard. Okay, you know about armies, you haven't heard about creating things, and so you don't know what it was like. Well, you know what it was like, Adam. It was just like when armies are called by the trumpet, troop to their standard, so the watery throng, wave rolling after wave, where way they found, if steep with torrent rapture, if through plain soft ebbing, nor withstood them rock or hill, but they, or underground, or circuit wide with serpent error wandering, so just like a snake wandering, found their way, and on the washy ooze deep channels wore. Easy, ere God had bid the ground be dry, all but within those banks, where rivers now, line 305, stream, and perpetual draw their humid train, the dry land, earth, and the great receptacle of congregated waters he called seas, and saw that it was good, and said, let the earth put forth the verdant grass, herb-yielding seed, line 310, and fruit tree yielding fruit after her kind, whose seed is in herself upon the earth. He scarce had said, when the bare earth, till then, desert and bare, unsightly, unadorned, brought forth the tender grass, whose verdure clad, line 315 in book 7, brought forth the tender grass, whose verdure clad her universal face with pleasant green. Then herb of every leaf that sudden flowered, opening their various colors and made gay her bosom smelling sweet. And these scarce blown, forth flourished thick the clustering vine, line 320. Forth crept the swelling gourd, up stood the corny reed, embattled in her field, add the humble shrub and bush with frizzled hair implicit, last rose as in dance the stately trees, and spread their branches hung with copious fruit, or gemmed their blossoms. With high woods the hills were crowned, with tufts the valleys, and each fountain side, with borders long the rivers. That earth now seemed like to heaven, a seat where gods might dwell, or wander with delight, and love to haunt her sacred shades, 330. Though God had not yet reigned upon the earth, and man to till the ground, none was. But from the earth a dewy mist went up and watered all the ground, and each plant of the field, which, ere it was in the earth, God made, and every herb, before it grew on the green stem, God saw that it was good. So even and morning recorded the third day. End of day 3. Again the Almighty spake, Let there be lights high in the expanse of heaven, line 340, to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days, and circling years, and let them be for lights, as I ordain their office in the firmament of heaven, to give light on the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, great for their use to man, the greater to have rule by day, the less by night alternately, and made the stars, and set them in the firmament of heaven to illuminate the earth, line 350, and rule the day in their vicissitude, and rule the night, and light from darkness to divide. God saw, surveying his great work, that it was good. For of celestial bodies, first the sun, a mighty sphere, he framed. Unlightsome first, though of ethereal mold, unlightsome, not light. Then formed the moon, globos, and every magnitude of stars, and sowed with stars the heaven thick as a field. Of light by far the greatest part he took, transplanted from her cloudy shrine, and placed in the sun's orb, more porous to receive and drink the liquid light, firm to retain her gathered beams, a great palace now of light. Hither as to their fountain, other stars repairing, in their golden urns draw light. Line 365. And hence the morning planet gilds her horns. By tincture or reflection they augment their small peculiar, though from human sight so far remote, with diminution seen. First in his east the glorious lamp was seen, radiant of day, and all the horizon round invested with bright rays, jocund to run his longitude through heaven's high road. The gray dawn, and the Pleiades, those are stars. And take a look at Job 38, 31, or jot that down. And the Pleiades before him danced, shedding sweet influence. Less bright the moon, but opposite in leveled west was set his mirror, with full face borrowing her light from him. All right, the moon is reflecting light from the sun. For other light she needed none in that aspect, and still the distance keeps till night. Then in the east her turn she shines, line 380, revolved on heaven's great axle, and her reign with thousand lesser lights dividual holds, with thousand stars. And then appeared, spangling the hemisphere, first adorned with their bright luminaries that set and rose, line 384, 85, glad evening and glad morn crowned the fourth day ends. And God said, let the waters generate reptile with spawn abundant, living soul, and let fowl fly above the earth with wings displayed on the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales, and each soul living, each that crept, with plenteously the waters generated by their kinds, and every bird of wing after his kind, and saw that it was good, and blessed them, saying, line 395, be fruitful, multiple, and in the seas and lakes and running streams the waters fill, and let the fowl be multiplied on the earth. Forthwith the sounds and seas, each creek and bay, with fry innumerable swarm, and shoals of fish that with their fins and shining scales glide under the green wave, in skulls that oft bank the mid-sea, part single or with mate graze the seaweed their pasture, and through groves of coral stray, or sporting with quick glance, show to the sun their waved coats dropped with gold, or in their pearly shells at ease attend most nutrient, or under rocks their food. In jointed armor watch, on smooth the seal and bended dolphins play, part huge of bulk wallowing unwieldy, line 410, enormous in their gait the step, tempest of ocean, there leviathan, hugest of living creatures, on the deep stretched like a promontory sleeps or swims, and seems a moving land, like a big piece of land, an island moving, and at his gills draws in, and at his trunk spouts out a sea. Meanwhile, the tepid caves and fins and shores, their brood as numerous hatch, from the egg that soon bursting with kindly rupture forth disclosed their callow young. But feathered soon and fledge, they summed their pens, and soaring in the air, so they left their pens, and soaring the air sublime with clang despised the ground. Under a cloud in prospect there the eagle and the stork on cliffs and cedar tops their aeries build. Line 425. Part loosely wing the region, part more wise in common, ranged in figure wedge their way, intelligent of seasons, and set forth their airy caravan high over seas, flying and over lands with mutual wing, easing their flight. So steers the prudent crane her annual voyage, borne on winds, the air floats as they pass, fanned with innumerable plumes, lots of feathers. From branch to branch, the smaller birds with song solaced comforted the woods and spread their painted wings till even. Nor then the solemn nightingale ceased warbling, but all night turned her soft lays, her little stories. Others on silver lakes and rivers bathed their downy breast. The swan, with arched neck between her white wings mantling proudly, rose her state with oary feet. Yet oft they quit the dank, and rising on stiff pennons, like sticks, tower the mid-aerial sky. Others on ground walked firm, the crested cock, whose clarion sounds the silent hours, K. the rooster, and the other, whose gay train adorns him, colored with the florid hue of rainbows and starry eyes. That would be the, I can't think of the name of it, the bird with the feathers that looks like it has eyes on it. Line 446. The waters thus with fish replenished, and the air with fowl, evening and morn solemnized, the fifth day, or the peacock, that was the peacock in 445. The end of the fifth day, the sixth, and the creation last arose with evening harps and matin, that's morning, when God said, let the earth bring forth soul living in her kind, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth, each in their kind. The earth obeyed, and straight opening her fertile womb, teemed at a birth innumerable living creatures, perfect forms, line 455, limbed and full grown, out of the ground uprose as from his lair, the wild beast, where he wands, where he dwells, in forest wild, in thicket, brake, or den, among the trees, in pairs they rose, they walked, the cattle in the fields and meadows green, those rare and solitary, these in flocks, pasturing at once, and in broad herds upsprung, the grassy clods, now calved, now half appeared the tawny lion, pawing to get free his hinder parts, then springs as broke from bonds. So this lion's literally springing from the earth, 465. And rampant, shakes his brinded mane, the ounce, the libbard, and the tiger, and the mole rising, the crumbled earth above them threw in hillocks. The swift stag from underground bore up his branching head, scarce from his mold, behemoth, biggest born of earth, upheaved, this is your dinosaur from Job 40, upheaved his vastness, fleeced the flocks and bleating rose as plants, ambiguous between sea and land, the river horse and scaly crocodile. At once came forth whatever creeps the ground, line 475, insect or worm, those waved their limber fans for wings, and smallest lineaments exact in all the liveries decked of summer's pride, with spots of gold and purple, azure and green, these as a line their long dimensions drew, streaking the ground with sinuous trace, not all minims of nature, some of the serpent kind, wondrous in length and corpulence, involved their snaky folds and added wings. First crept the parsimonious emmet, the little thrifty ant, is what that is, line 485. Provident of future, in strong, small room, large heart enclosed, pattern of just equality, perhaps hereafter, joined in her popular tribes of commonality. So here we have Milton recognizing the ants, probably from his studies in Proverbs. Swarming next appeared the female bee that feeds her husband drone, line 490, deliciously, and builds her waxen cells with honey stored. The rest are numberless, and thou their natures knowest, and gavest them names, needless to be repeated. So Raphael is pausing his narrative to say, well, and you know who the rest are. You gave them all their names. I don't need to repeat all their names. You named them yourself. Nor unknown, line 494, the serpent, subtlest beast of all the field, of huge extent sometimes, with brazen eyes and hairy mane terrific, though to thee, terrific though to thee, not noxious, but obedient at thy call, now heaven in all her glory shone, and rolled her motions as the great first mover's hand. And this is very interesting, line 500, to call God the first mover, because in philosophy, if you do not want to acknowledge a God, or if you want to be a little more subtle and less religious, people very often use the prime mover, the first mover, and of course that means the creator. The great first mover's hand first wheeled their course. Earth in her rich attire, consummate, lovely, smiled. Air, water, earth, by fowl, fish, beast, was flown, was swum, was walked, frequent, and of the sixth day yet remained. There wanted yet, there lacked yet, the masterwork. The end of all yet done. A creature who not prone and brute as other creatures, but endued with sanctity of reason. and remember this is just before the age of reason, might erect his stature and upright with front serene, govern the rest. Okay, he has not yet made the one who will govern the rest, line 5:10. Self-knowing, and from whence magnanimous to correspond with heaven, but grateful to acknowledge whence his good descends. And of course, this is Raphael telling Adam, which means Adam needs to know that this is how he was made. Very able to be grateful to acknowledge whence his good descends. Hither with heart and voice and eyes directed in devotion to adore and worship God supreme, line 5:15, who made him chief of all his works. Therefore, the omnipotent eternal Father, that's another epic epithet, instead of just saying God, the omnipotent eternal Father, for where is he not present? Thus to his Son audibly spake. Now God is speaking to the Son. Let us make now man in our image, man in our similitude, and let them rule over the fish and fowl of sea and air, beast of the field, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps the ground. This said, he formed thee, Adam, and this is Raphael speaking to Adam, thee, O man, dust of the ground, and in thy nostrils breathed the breath of life. In his own image he created thee, in the image of God express, and thou becamest a living soul. Male he created thee, but thy consort, female for race. Then blessed mankind, and said, line 5:30, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Subdue it, and throughout dominion hold over fish of the sea and fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Wherever thus created, for no place is yet distinct by name, hence, as thou knowest, he brought thee into this delicious grove, this garden, planted with the trees of God, delectable both to behold and taste, and freely all their pleasant fruit for food, line 5:40. This is what he gave thee. All sorts are here that all the earth yields, variety without end, but of the tree which tasted works, knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not. In the day thou eatest, thou diest. Death is the penalty imposed. Beware, line 5:45, and govern well thy appetite, lest sin surprise thee and her black attendant, death. Here finished he, and all that he had made viewed, and behold, all was entirely good. So even and morn accomplished the sixth day, end of day six. Yet not till the Creator from his work, desisting though unwearied, upreturned up to the heaven of heavens his high abode, hence to behold his new created world, the addition to his empire, how it showed in prospect from his throne, how good, how fair, answering his great idea. Up he rode, following with acclamation and the sound symphonious of 10,000 harps that tuned angelic harmonies, the earth, the air resounded. Thou rememberest, because you heard it, for thou heardest it. The heavens and all the constellations rung. The planets in their stations listening stood, while the bright pomp ascended, jubilant. Open, ye everlasting gates, they sung, line 3, 5, 6, 5. Open, ye heavens, your living doors. Let in the great Creator from his work returned magnificent, his 6 days' work, a world. Open, and henceforth oft, for God will deign to visit oft the dwellings of just men delighted, and with frequent intercourse hither will send his winged messengers on errands of supernatural grace. So sung, the glorious train ascending, he through heaven, so this is the Son's triumphant return in his chariot, that opened wide her blazing portals, led to God's eternal house direct the way, a broad and ample road where dust is gold and pavement stars, as stars to thee appear, seen in the galaxy, that Milky Way which nightly as a circling zone thou seest, powdered with stars. And now on earth the seventh evening arose in Eden, for the sun was set, and twilight from the east came on, forerunning night, when at the holy mount of heaven's high-seated top, line 585, the imperial throne of Godhead, fixed forever, firm and sure, the filial power, and this is an epithet for the Son, the filial power arrived, and sat him down with his great Father, for he also went invisible, yet stayed. Such privilege hath omnipresence, and the work ordained, author and end of all things, and from work now resting, blessed and hallowed, the seventh day, as resting on that day from all his work, but not in silence wholly kept. The harp had work and rested not, the solemn pipe and dulcimer, all organs of sweet stop, all sounds on fret by string or golden wire, tempered soft tunings, intermixed with voice, choral, or unison, of incense clouds fuming from golden censers hid the mount, line 600. Creation and the 6 days Acts, they sung, "Great are thy works, Jehovah, infinite thy power. What thought can measure thee or tongue relate thee? Greater now in thy return than from the giant angels. Thee that day thy thunders magnified, but to create is greater than created to destroy. Who can impair thee, mighty king, or bound thy empire? Easily the proud attempt of spirits apostate and their counsels vain thou hast repelled," line 610, "while impiously, unholy, impiously they thought thee to diminish, and from thee withdraw the number of thy worshippers. Who seeks to lessen thee against his purpose serves to manifest the more thy might." Okay, whoever looks to make you less, even though he doesn't want to, is just going to make you, your mightiness, more apparent. "His evil thou usest, and from hence createst more good. Witness this new-made world, another heaven, from heaven gate not far, founded in view of the clear hyaline, the glassy sea, of amplitude almost immense, with stars numerous, and every star perhaps a world of destined habitation. But thou knowest their seasons, among those the seat of men, earth with her nether, ocean circumferenced," nether would be below, line 625, "their pleasant dwelling place. Thrice happy men and sons of men, whom God hath thus advanced, created in his image, there to dwell and worship him, and in reward to rule over his works, on earth, in sea, or air, and multiply a race of worshippers, holy and just. Thrice happy, if," of course this is the condition for happiness, which is perseverance, "if they know their happiness, and persevere upright." So sung they, and the empyrean rung with hallelujahs. Thus was Sabbath kept, and thy request think now fulfilled. Okay, Raphael tells Adam, okay, you asked me for it, and now I'm done telling. "Think now fulfilled, that asked how first this world and face of things began, and what before thy memory was done from the beginning, that prosperity informed by thee might know, if else thou seekest aught, not surpassing human nature, say." And that is the end of Book 7.